Job, thank you, Corral, for that good song. First time to my knowledge I've ever heard that song, but what a good thought about humility. We just heard about humility, and we ought to be humble when we remember how wonderful it is to be saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. James chapter number 2, and you may be seated. Just want to give them a chance to find their seat. That'll be helpful. Have just a few moments in the book of James. We've been studying that this semester and a little bit talking about the topic of maturity. What makes someone mature? Someone who's spiritually mature knows themselves. They are themselves. They're careful and considerate of those around them. Immature people don't care about other people. They don't mind being a little pretentious or hypocritical. It's not about everybody else. It's about them. But mature people know themselves. They are themselves. They're considerate of those around them. They have a contented spirit. They have a spirit that's content. It's not all that itch for more. It doesn't overtake them. The need to be comfortable is not their main goal. It's I'm learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. People who are spiritually mature are focused on responsibilities, not rights and comfortability, popularity, comfort, ease. What is right? What's the right thing to do here? Not what's easy, what's right. People who are spiritually mature, challenged by the eternal, not just the temporal. They're not thinking how this is going to affect my life in the next 5 years. How is it going to affect my life in the next 5,000 years? What's going to be like when I stand before God one day? Spiritually mature people are motivated by an intrinsic love for God that is birthed out of a knowing that God loves them. No one ever served God for a lifetime who's not totally convinced that God loves them. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. Boy, if you ever thought for a second, well, God might love some people, but not he won't love me the same way, you've got stinking thinking. That's wrong. God loves you. He's crazy about you. You say, how crazy is it about you? Go start counting sands, grains of sand. Start counting them. He said, how precious also are the thoughts that God has about me. How great is some of them. Thou shalt count them. They're more than the numbers of the sand. So he said, that's how many times I think about you. It's how much I love you. But a reminder of the love of Christ he's given us. And if you ever think differently about that, go back to what God says about his love for you. He loves you. And he loves you. Well, we talked about what it is that makes us mature, and that is how we approach problems. Brother Arkan spoke about that. If approach our problems with praise, with prayer, with perseverance. Our attitude toward the Scriptures, knowing that the Word of God is God's tool. It's his gift that came down from above, and it's without variableness, neither shadow of turning. You don't change the Bible, let the Bible change you. Listen, don't ever go for another version of the Scripture. You know, you can read that. I was talking to a man the other day. He said, I was witnessing to him. He didn't get saved at that moment. I led him to Christ in his garage on Friday night. But my first time I witnessed to him, I pulled out, or his wife said, I had a New Testament. He said, I've got a Bible. And he brought a King James Bible. And he goes, oh, I can't understand that one. Get another one. I said, you know, I'm very familiar with this one. How about if I just explain this one? After he heard the gospel, he goes, I understood that perfectly. He said, nothing wrong with that book. I don't know what I was thinking, you know. And you know, that was an unsaved man who just got saved Friday night, but that was a month ago when he told me that. And boy, you just love the Bible. Read the Bible. The more you read it, the more convinced you'll be that it's God's Word. Great. Our relationship with the Bible must be accepted with some sort of meekness, a willingness to adjust to what tells us. If not, we'll be like a person who looks in the mirror and beholds its face this morning and then doesn't anything about it. Could you imagine if all of us came to chapel the way we looked at ourselves in the mirror this morning? It'd be embarrassing. If we didn't make an adjustment. That's how we do if we take the Bible and we don't apply it to our hearts and life. And sometimes it's difficult because you, at this season of your life, you're getting chapel every day, except for Monday. You're getting Bible classes. You're getting stirred. You're getting chapel. You're getting a bus ministry message on Saturday morning. And you're getting Sunday morning, Sunday night. You're hearing a lot of life-changing truths. And that's where you need to say, God, what am I supposed to do with that right now? Apply that to my heart today. That'd be a very good idea for you to do. The third area in which we grow in maturity is how we relate to people. How we relate to people. Verse number 1 of chapter 2 of James, and we'll not get very far into this, but I do want to give you just a few thoughts if I can. In chapter 2, verse 1, look at it again and read it out loud with me. One again, the book of James is written to my brethren. These are people who are saved, who have been called out, Jewish people primarily, that James has pastored in the church of Jerusalem, and they have been scattered around the world. And he writes to them an open letter that God puts in the scripture for us in the book of James. He's writing to Christians. If you don't understand that the book of Hebrews and the book of James, and quite frankly, most of the Bible is written to saved people, you're going to get goofy and a little bit squirrely in your mind and your theology. This right here is written to Christians. And he's going to talk about it later in the book. In chapter 2, he's going to talk about if you have faith, well, show me your faith by your works. So do you work your way to heaven? Absolutely not. Do you keep working so you can go to heaven? No. But if you're really saved, there ought to be works. That's where the Paul said it like this, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He said, if you're saved, then show the world you're saved. You and God might know, but the rest of the world needs to know. And they can't see your heart. They see your service. They see your spirit, their attitude, your actions. But here in chapter number 2, verse 1, read it again with me if you would please, everyone. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. This passage of Scripture is going to talk about our sincere, genuine, humble treatment of everyone. The rich, the poor, those who have a different pigment of skin than you do, everybody. It's how you're going to treat people. We have in the 1 Timothy principles, chapter 1, keep your doctrine sound. Chapter 2, make prayer a. Chapter 3, spiritual, keep winning, discipling others. Chapter 4, be a good, godly example. And chapter 5 is relationships, and so much of the ministry is learning how to negotiate relationships. If you're a train wreck with relationships, you're going to hurt people that you're trying to help. And one of our major responsibilities is not to be partial, not to be hypocritical, not to be partial. Because there's one thing we know about God, He is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't judge us by our skin color, by our economic background. He doesn't judge us by how well we can dress, how pretty you may be, or how handsome you may be. He's not judging you that way. He evaluates the heart. We know that. But he says, my brethren, have ye not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ? Now, faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. What makes me treat people right? See, love is not feeling right about everybody. It's deciding to treat everybody right. I don't have to feel right about people to treat them right. But love makes me do that. But what makes me love? Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to do what? Please go. Can't please Him without faith. And the way you learn to operate and learn to treat people the way God wants you to is whenever you believe God. You say, have you not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord of glory. By the way, you have to get Him in His rightful place for you to treat other people right in your sphere of influence. The key is faith, and the key is viewing God right. If He's the Lord of glory, have that same faith that He has in regards to, He's not a respecter of persons. Some of you came to this college and you've got prejudice. You got built-in prejudice, and maybe you got it from your own pride, maybe you got it from your parents, maybe you got it from the location of the United States that you lived in. Maybe something bad happened to you with somebody who was poor, or someone had a different skin color, or you have a built-in prejudice towards someone. That's not coming from the Lord. That's not coming from God. And you're going to show maturity and grow in maturity by working with other people not like you. He's going to use an analogy here. Our time will not allow us to continue, but he said, if a man comes into church and he is dressed very sharp, and you look and say, oh man, hey, we're so glad to have you. Here, come sit down front. We want you to sit over here. This is a good seat for you. I can't wait for my pastor to meet you. And then you see a man coming and he has clothes that don't smell good. And he obviously hasn't combed his hair this morning. His breath stinks. He's stumbling when he walks. And he's like, can't we get anyone normal in this church? Good night. Sir, you ought to know better when you come in here like that. Here, sit down over here or stand over there, would you? He said, oh, that really ticks God off. That really bothers him. The rich and the poor meet together, and the Lord is the maker of them all. And this is rubber meets the road. This is not for babies. This is for the mature. Learning to love everybody the way God loves them, without a respect of persons, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and letting God help us with that. And may we talk a little bit more about that in another chapel. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. My heart's convicted because I have done exactly what you told me not to do in times past. I have been a respecter of persons. I have taken someone that looked like they had their act together and had treated them very differently than someone who has struggled. And I apologize, God. I don't want to do that. And I pray you'd help us, Lord, to be mature enough to handle problems with prayer, praise, and thanks, and perseverance. Would receive the Word of God and let it change your life so we become very giving, very clean, not worldly, and so we'd be very bridled in our talk and our thoughts. Then we'd learn to treat people with grace. Please help us. We ask this in Jesus' name.